I wanted to offer a different take on the story this morning, a different interpretation that you may or may not have heard about the story of the loaves and the fish. And I know that sometimes hearing another take on a familiar story can be a bit challenging or a little daunting, because we like the way we've always heard it before. We like the original. It's like when you remake a movie or something, it's never quite as good as the one you remember. But sometimes you learn something new when you think about something or look at something from a different perspective. So I hope you'll bear with me and maybe hear something different in this story of the loaves and the fish. The gospel story, we all know, is about Jesus, and he's been preaching and teaching, and a whole crowd shows up, a much larger crowd than he'd expected, than any of the disciples had anticipated. And so it's about supper time, and there are all these people there, and there's nothing to eat, except for one boy who was rather forward-thinking and had brought some fish and some bread, probably just for himself and his family, and who offers that to be shared. And so Jesus takes that and blesses it and shares it among the 5,000 people. And somehow, not only is it enough, but there's all this abundance. There's all this extra at the end. There's so much of an outpouring that they have to gather up baskets full, 12 baskets full of the abundance that's left over after sharing this. And this story tells us a lot about God and about God providing for us in our need, and that we don't need to be afraid and we don't need to worry that we don't have enough because God provides. But I want to tell the story another way and see, what if this is what happened? And probably the truth lies somewhere in between, but what if this is what happened? A whole bunch of people went out to see this Jesus guy because they'd been hearing really amazing things about him. And so a whole bunch of people went out to hear what he had to say. Some of them were pretty poor, and so they went with just the clothes on their backs, and they didn't take anything with them. Some of them were middle class, and so they might have packed a little bit of food with them. Some of them were pretty wealthy, and even they wanted to know what Jesus had to say, even though he said some kind of challenging things for them especially. But they packed a bigger lunch because, you know, they had a lot more food at their disposal, and they packed what they had, and they brought that, never planning to share it with anyone, just so that they would have food when supper came around. And what if Jesus was talking like he normally does, about things like blessed are the poor, and those who have should share with those who have not, and God's blessing is enough for everyone, and we don't have to live in fear, but we can act out of faith. And when it came time to eat and there wasn't enough food to eat, one little boy got it. He'd been listening this whole time and he was really moved by what he heard. And he was really filled with faith by what he'd heard. And so even though what he had wasn't very much, he offered it to share. And Jesus took it as if it was enough for everybody. He took it without even hesitating and broke it and started to share it with people. And then another person got it. Another person was moved by that example and by what they'd heard. And they said, well, you know, I've got a little bit. And they took out what they had and started to share it with people near them. And another person, and another person. And pretty soon this crowd of 5,000 people who were strangers before they came together in this field are sharing food with one another. And as any good Methodist knows, when you share food, you're not just sharing food. You're sharing fellowship. You're sharing stories, you're telling jokes, you're trading tales, you're sharing bits of yourself with someone else. And so pretty soon this crowd of 5,000 people is involved in what we might call a holy communion, a holy fellowship, a holy sharing. But that's not a miracle, you say. But I think it is. I think it is. Which is harder to change? Which is harder to transform, food or people? Which is the greater miracle, to transform loaves or to transform lives? Which is the greater miracle, to multiply fish or to multiply faith? See, this story tells us something else about God and who God is in Jesus. It tells us that God not only provides for us out of our need, but challenges us and transforms us so that we reach out to others in need. And it tells us something not only about God and about Christ, but about where we are called to be and how we are called to respond to that blessing and that abundance. We do not live out of the fear that what we have isn't enough, that our offering is too small, our gift is too small. We only have a few loaves of bread. We only have a few dollars to put in the offering plate. We only have the little insignificant talent that nobody wants to have shared anyway. We don't live out of that fear because we are called into a transformation by God, and that is miraculous. We are called to take what we have, like this little boy, and just offer it without any hesitation, without any fear that it's not enough, without any, but you know, what if there's not anything left when it comes back around to me? He just offered it. And that action in response to what Jesus had been saying, combined with what Jesus had been saying, that action moves 5,000 people. Christ moves 5,000 people into selfless giving and sharing. I think in some ways that that's a greater and more powerful miracle. And it's a greater and more powerful call to us. Because sometimes when we reflect on the miracles that God does in Christ, and there are many, and they are great, but sometimes when we reflect on that, we're tempted to then just sit back and say, well, God's going to perform the miracle, and we don't have to be a part of that. We're done. We'll just sit here and receive. We'll just sit here and wait. But God asks us to be part of the transformation that's happening in the world. God asks us to take an active role. And see, we can use the excuse that we can't transform loaves of bread, and we can't multiply fish. And God responds back, oh yes, but you can transform lives, and you can multiply faith, and I am calling you to do so. One of my favorite verses in the Gospels, and the most challenging in a great many ways, is from the Gospel of John. And it's in the 14th chapter. Let's see, it's 14:12. It's in the bulletin. And Jesus says, to paraphrase, that anyone who believes in him and is listening and following what he says, anyone who does that will be able to do all that he has done and more. That's an incredible challenge. I mean, Jesus did all of these miracles. And when we look at them and we hear them only in that literal sense, we say, oh, there's no way we can do that. I can't break bread and make it be, you know, more in quantity than it was. But don't we, when we share bread together, break it and make it mean more? And I can't take fish and multiply it so that two fish suddenly feed 5,000 people. But don't we, when we share our gifts with one another, take our small offerings and make them enough to nurture a populace? And I can't, you know, take mud and put it in a blind person's eyes and make them see and heal them that way. But don't we, when we listen to someone who's in need and in deep pain, help them heal? So you see, when we look at it in another way, when we take this familiar story and set it in another light, we're called not only to be the recipients of God's abundance, but to be those who help hand it out. And what would a miracle like that look like in our society, in a society where some have a lot, and some people have poor housing or no housing? Some people are left without food. Some people can't afford health care or the cost of their prescription medications. What does it look like in a society like that to talk about transformation? A transformation that moves people to take what they have and share it. A transformation that moves us to multiply our faith, to transform our lives and the lives of others. What does it look like to live not out of the fear that what we have isn't enough, but out of the faith and the hope that in God what we have is taken and made abundant, more than enough for everyone in need? What that looks like is God's people at work in the world. What that looks like is the body of Christ. The body of Christ working as Christ's body, working together to do all that He has done and more, to heal, to reach out, to bless, to feed, to clothe, to comfort, to transform. It looks like the transformation of lives, the multiplication of faith. And that's a miracle. And that's our call. Amen.